You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekend. And what a weekend this is. If you're a college football fan, there are scrimmages across the board, and we'll talk about all of them this afternoon. If you're a college baseball fan, I dare say the weekend of the year has arrived for you as well. If you're a draft fan, every day is like Christmas. Let's get going with the biggest college football game of the weekend, at least in terms of the SEC, and that's the Alabama scrimmage. And all eyes tomorrow are going to be on Bryce Young. You would assume he's the man. Now, assuming anything with Nick Saban, you may beware.
You mentioned Bryce being the guy right now. How happy are you that he's...
I just said Bryce is going to play with the ones, all right? So that's the way it's going to be.
How happy are you that he's been able to kind of progress the way he has been? And do you find he's more confident now?
Well, how do you know that he's progressed the way he has been? What have you seen that be able to make that statement, first of all? I mean, I'm happy with his progress. I don't want you to think that, but I don't know where you sort of can just come out and make that statement. But I'm happy with his progress. I think he's played well this spring. I think he showed good leadership. He's made progress. I think he understands the offense. He's worked hard. I can make the statement because I watch him practice every day, but I don't know how much practice you saw.
And there's no truth to the rumor that the reporter is now in the witness protection program. Lane Kiffin watching that from afar. He used to watch it from a distance, saying, "This made my day. The GOAT always in game day mode, even with spring practice media." Lane Kiffin, now reporting from Oxford on the Alabama football program. He would make a good reporter, wouldn't he? There are a lot of scrimmages tomorrow, as we mentioned, all day long. We will be watching Alabama and Auburn and Georgia and many more hit the field. What are the questions? There's a lot to be unraveled, and we will, of course, will be here Monday to recap all of that for you. Meanwhile, this is the schedule of the scrimmages. There it is. Yeah. Mississippi State starts it off noon, Vanderbilt at noon, Alabama at 1 Eastern, LSU, Georgia, Auburn, and Arkansas. The Alabama game will be on ESPN, the rest on SEC Network Plus. There is a new coalition started by Mike Loxley. Remember, he was the offensive coordinator under Nick Saban. This is really fantastic. We talked to Coach Locke about this, a couple of months ago when he was just getting off the ground, and he has added a couple of key people, including Candace Lee and Greg Byrne, to his board. Nick Saban is already a part of all that, and there are some positive things going on in sports. Sometimes we wonder, but there you have it. Meanwhile, an LSU coaching legend reportedly on her way out, Nikki Fargus, in negotiations with the Aces of the WNBA to be the team president. Now, when I say on her way out, that's not exactly correct. She is leaving to go to the professional ranks. She is a fantastic coach, and many remember her from her playing days. And I mentioned a huge baseball weekend, and I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of minutes ago in Starkville, and they're pretty excited about this. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to be in Oxford on the Mississippi State weekend. I was there for a graduation, and somebody said, "You're here for the baseball game?" I go, "Oh, yeah, everybody's here for the baseball game," and I did catch it. And this is one of the great series in baseball, and tickets are not easy to find, as they are not easy to find for the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game. Look at the matchup. This game is on the network, and hard to find two better teams in the country. I would say it's a pretty even matchup. Who's Danny Sheridan have winning this game? Anyway, so we are a month away from Hoover, maybe a little more than a month away, but some of the very most delectable baseball matchups of the year are here. So here's where we are. Let's talk about what we'll be doing on the program today. I mentioned spring drills, and Jordan Rogers is joining us in a few minutes. He's on the UGA game. John Fulkerson is back. I know a lot of Tennessee fans are rejoicing. The last we saw was that terrible injury in the SEC tournament, but all good for Folky, and he will join us in about 30 minutes. Luganville on the LSU game. Tess on Alabama. He'll be doing the play-by-play for that. Stinch on Auburn. McShay on the draft. You don't want to miss that. Woody Page, legendary figure, a hero of mine growing up. He preceded me by about 10 years as the sports editor of the UT Daily newspaper. He's still making it. You see him on ESPN all the time. And Kyle Peterson, the ESPN guru of all gurus. He will join us end of the show to take a look ahead to the big, big baseball weekend. But your phone calls until then, or throughout, I should say, at 855-242-7285. Let's get right to it. And Jimmy starts us off from Georgia. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you. Hey, I have a bone to pick with all the old-timey Georgia fans that keep calling in and pouring cold water on Georgia's season this coming year.
So what do you have to say to them?
Well, I mean, why in the world, with so much optimism and so much potential for Georgia's season, would you call in and say Georgia can't do it?
You know, well, Jimmy, I don't think it's really hard to understand that when you consider the past. It's been 40 years since Georgia won a national championship. And I know in a perfect world you shouldn't concentrate on that, and I wouldn't. I would be happy that Kirby Smart is my coach if I were a Georgia fan.
Yeah.
But that's not exactly the way some of these cats roll.
I know, Paul, when you look at...
Jimmy, before we go on, Jimmy, slow down a second. Which team do you pull for?
Oh, I'm a Georgia fan. I love Georgia.
Okay.
That's why I'm so disappointed with these guys calling in, and before the season ever starts, they're already...
Why don't you describe your feelings? I mean, I don't know why I was describing it. I wasn't 100% sure. So, as a Georgia fan, what do you expect every year?
Man, I am so pumped for this season.
That was not my question. As a Georgia fan, what do you expect every season? Do you expect championships? Do you expect 8 or 9 wins? Do you expect 10 games? Which one is it?
Look, I expect SEC, at least make it to the SEC, and every once in a while winning it and winning a championship. And I think we're not far off at all. This may not be the year, but there's a darn good chance it is.
And that's exactly what I would say, too. Trey is up next. Hey, Trey, good afternoon.
Hey, my friend, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Paul, how far have we come in a year? Is this just not an amazing weekend for some spring sports compared to last year? Are we not blessed this weekend, Paul? I mean, we're going to have fans and athletes and coaches, and we got baseball matchups and spring football and softball, and I just want everybody to enjoy this weekend because we've come a long, long way from last year, Paul, at this time. And Brady, my question for you. What series are you looking forward to watching the most? Vanderbilt, Tennessee, the Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Me personally, I'm looking forward to watching the Alabama-Florida softball game and maybe the Alabama-Auburn baseball game. But
yeah, Trey, thanks for the call. I would say my eyes are going to be on Starkville tonight. I just think it's such a great scene, and it's such an intense rivalry. And you know, seeing some of the scenes from Ole Miss the other day, I agree. It is really cool to see people celebrate. That's the one I'm watching. That doesn't take anything away from the others, but I mean, I think anytime Vanderbilt shows up in your park, it's a big deal these days. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. The guests start piling in here in a few minutes when we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check.
Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. We are here on the Friday afternoon, and good to have all of you with us. Brian is up next in New Jersey. Hey, Brian. Good afternoon.
Yeah, how you doing, sir? How do you think Alabama's going to do this year with their new quarterback? You know, with the one guy's going to the draft, and they got a new quarterback position.
How many times have I heard that question over the last 3 or 4 years?
Okay.
No, I think they're going to do great, Brian. I mean, this is not a very difficult question to answer. Can they be as good as last year is really the most logical question I would ask. And probably not, but, you know, last year was one of the best Alabama teams I've ever seen. And I hear from people that are there, I'm not there, but I hear the defense is going to carry Alabama. So they may not need it to carry, but I think the defense will be significantly better than last year. And the defense last year was pretty good. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Let's check out Ed, who is in Mississippi. Hello, Ed.
Paul, how you doing? Been a while, buddy. How you doing?
Ed, I'm well. What about you?
I'm doing fine, Paul. I'll tell you what, down here in Mississippi with these two teams fixing to play, it's a national holiday. In fact, turkey season opened this weekend, but we've even postponed it a week.
I want you to tell the rest of us, Ed, why this is so important.
Well, you got Mississippi State playing Ole Miss, and, you know, we are the Taj Mahal of baseball, but I just got off the phone with some of the Left Field Lounge Lizards. And I know these people from Ole Miss are coming to Starkville, so they told me to tell them this. Come on, because you know we're coming, and hurry up, because we got hell waiting on you. Hell State.
That's pretty funny. Nash is up next in Kentucky. Good afternoon, Nash.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I am doing well. What about you?
How do you think Kentucky's, like, what crucial games do you think Kentucky has to win this year to do good in football?
Well, I think for Kentucky to be good, Nash, it's always critical to win the tweener games. And as I look down at the schedule, I'm talking about a game on the road against South Carolina, a game at home against LSU. I mean, those are games that to have a really good season, you have to win the home games. I don't expect Kentucky to win at Georgia. Another game, Mississippi State, that's a toss-up game. So you have to grab those games. Take a swing at Florida at home and maybe get them, maybe not. It's happened before. That's always been somewhat of a jinx. But, you know, non-conference, I think, is very doable. UL, Monroe, Chattanooga. You have New Mexico State and Louisville. I think you can win all four of those. I think you can win at Vanderbilt. Probably beat Tennessee. So now you're getting to six. Can you steal that game at South Carolina? 7. Can you split Florida, LSU? Can you win 2 out of 3 against Florida, LSU, and Missouri? And suddenly you've got a really good season going.
Yeah. Do you think they'll get any better recruits than they did this year?
Yeah, I do. I you know what, Nash, I thought last year was an outlier. I in talking to Mark Stoops about it 3 weeks ago, and he explained it very well. Things were pretty self-evident. I think too many things were going against UK. Hey, thank you. You be well, and let's check out James, who is up next. James, you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, good.
How are you?
I am great. Thank you.
Hey, I just want to say go Hawks, go, and happy birthday to my mother.
Does your mother live in Arkansas?
Yes, sir.
Well, I will never ask a woman's age, but I hope she has a happy birthday and many, many more.
Me too. Thank
you, Paul. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And let's check in with Jack, who is in Colorado. Hello, Jack.
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I just want to say, Roll Tide, go Alabama baseball. That walk-off win last night was amazing.
It was.
Yep, that's all I had to say.
Well, I'm glad you called. You had a pretty good game to talk. I think we just followed that game, a replay of that game on the network here. Thanks for the call. Tom is in Alabama. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Tom, we're well. Thank you.
I play sports all my life. I've coached sports all my life. I'm a retired police officer, and my brother is a captain with the Huntsville Fire Department, and I watch your show every day. And my question for you is, who do you think Alabama's quarterback will be next year?
I think it's going to be Bryce Young. I don't think it's even close, Tom.
Well, what about Bear Bryant's great-grandson?
Well, Paul Tyson right now is number two, and I think he'll be the number two quarterback in the game tomorrow. I'm not sure the number three quarterback is going to play. There's some issues down there precluding a few players from being available.
You think Tyson will go to another team, or you stay at Alabama?
Well, I don't think he wants to go anywhere. You know, Mark Tyson was a great player in Paul Tyson. Mark's dad was his dad was a good quarterback too, by the way, in Montgomery.
Yeah.
Paul Tyson wanted to go to Alabama for all the obvious reasons. He's competed. He did a really good job last year, and you know, he still has 4 years to go, including this upcoming season. By the way, what type of sports did you coach?
I coached baseball, basketball, and football.
Tom, how long were you on the force?
20 years.
Man, my hat's off to you.
I'm also a veteran.
Wow, you've checked them all. I'm not asking you to get into the conversation too deep, but I'm sure you must watch the news these days and shake your head.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you for all you've done for us and your contribution, not only as an officer but a veteran, but also coaching so many young people. Hey, thank you. You be well and take care of yourself. It's really good to hear from you. Let me try Ann, who is in Florida. Ann, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hi. I was just calling. I know a lot of times we talk about who's the first Nick Saban assistant that would beat him. And I agree with you. I think it is going to be Lane Kiffin. I did a little bit of research. And since Nick Saban's been in the SEC, two-thirds of his losses have been to offensive coaches, offensive-minded coaches. So I think it probably, like you said, will be Lane Kiffin, maybe Jimbo Fisher, and kind of, I guess, the outlier might be Steve Sarkisian or Mario Cristobal, if that were going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm not going to agree with you on Sarkisian. I have my doubts whether he'll pull that off or not. But I thought Kiffin had a shot last year. He may not have quite as good a shot this year. But yeah, I think you're right, and it will happen. I mean, I know no one thinks it will, but it's inevitable. These things happen. I mean, the record that he has compiled is utterly amazing when you think about it, Ann. But I don't think it's going to be just somebody that sneaks up on him.
I think the only way it won't happen is if he retires before it happens. I think that would be the only way.
And I think one of the toughest things in our industry right now, sports or broadcasting, would be to accurately predict when Nick Saban will retire. I think it's
true.
I mean, the conventional wisdom now is that he's never going to retire. I don't believe that, by the way. I think there's going to come a moment, and I can't explain what it is. I suspect it's going to be something minor that he says, you know what, I either want to do this or I'm going to try to enjoy. Well, I don't think he's ever going to say I want to try to enjoy my life. I think there's no chance of that. But you never know that something might come along and convince him. You know, you're a brilliant guy. Why don't you spend some time doing this? We are heading to a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are about to whip around the SEC, looking at some of the spring games. And Georgia is first up.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have you here. John Fulkerson joining us shortly about his return to Tennessee. Before we do that, let's talk to Jordan Rogers on the call tomorrow for the Georgia spring game. Jordan, thank you for the time. What are you going to be focusing in on? I mean, obviously the quarterback, but take it from the top.
What's going on, Paul? It's good to hear your voice again. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to focus on with Georgia. Obviously, they have national championship aspirations, and you mentioned the offensive side of the ball. I think one of the reasons that people are very high on them and were at the end of the year last year was because the offense came around under JT Daniels. Now, my biggest interest in watching the spring game, their G-Day game tomorrow, will be to find those little crumbs. What is this offense going to look like when Todd Monken actually has an offseason with his starting quarterback? There's no rotation of QBs. There's no question marks. They know who they're going to be. Now, it's a spring game. We're not going to see everything, but I want to look for those crumbs. How do we handle JT Daniels? Is he a gun quarterback? Is he under center? He's better in the gun. So do they start to take a little bit of what Alabama does and go the pistol so they can have a downhill running attack, focus on the play action to keep hitting those deep shots that JT Daniels showed he could do so well? And then on the opposite side of the ball as well, with so many receivers out, watch the tight ends. They have a three-headed monster group of tight ends with Darnell Washington, John Fitzpatrick, and a true freshman wild card in Brock Bowers. I think we're going to see more 12 and 13 personnel next year, and I think Monken is going to do it creatively. He's an NFL guy. I think we see a lot of movement, a lot of shifts, a lot of different formations to get mismatches, especially because the wide receivers have been a revolving door because of injury this offseason. So watch those two things very closely. How do they get to the deep shots in play action? Is it pistol? Is JT under center? I don't think he will be, in how they use the tight ends. But if you're a Georgia fan, Paul, the biggest question mark is defense, right? That's who they've been, one of the best in the country last year, and the secondary was just decimated with guys leaving. You have two solid returners at safety with Lewis Seen and Chris Smith, but the secondary, as far as the cornerbacks, is what you need to focus on. So there's a three-way battle there with Amir Speed, Jalen Kimber, and Keely Ringo. They need those guys to step up. They need to figure out who is going to be the strong points on the outside, because when you run a Kirby Smart defense, it gets exotic. There's a lot of adjustments, and they got to be able to cover on the back end, especially the way that this conference is going with offenses throwing it all over the field. So those two sides of the ball, that's what I'd be looking for first.
Well, let's go back to the offense. Jordan Rogers with us. As you have watched JT Daniels matriculate, what do you see, and where does he go from here?
Man, so much to like about this kid. And from a football standpoint, you love how he throws the deep ball. And I broke this down a little bit last year, but the struggles with the deep ball and Stetson Bennett was more so a way of how you throw the deep ball as much as it is getting open. And Stetson Bennett threw the ball with a lot less trajectory. When you watch JT Daniels throw, looks like an NFL quarterback. Puts a ton of air under the deep ball because he has a strong arm, because he can push it downfield. And that gives the receivers more time to adjust to the football. And you saw that impact immediately. More big hits downfield because receivers could make plays and they had time to adjust to the football. It's really not rocket science. So that's the first thing you love physically. But when I talked to this kid an hour or so ago, I love his demeanor. I mean, look, on the surface, I'm a Cali boy. He's a Cali boy. He's got the long hair. He's a little laid back. You might put him into that stereotypical box of a Cali quarterback. He's not, because there is an intensity and a cerebral nature to him that is so fun to listen to. The way he analyzes everything, down to his mechanics, down to why his foot is 3 or 4 inches ahead of the other foot in shotgun, and what he's doing with his footwork to create velocity and his mechanics. He's a tweaker. He likes, and what I mean by that, he tweaks his mechanics all the time. He's always trying to find ways to be better. He's taking that approach to the film room as well. The kid has an unbelievable schedule of how he studies film, how he studies NFL guys, how he studies opponents. So he is much more cerebral than I think a lot of people knew. The injury held him back from getting in last year earlier than we saw him. It wasn't because he wasn't there mentally. And you're going to see a big leap from last year to this year because of the mental side of the game. Having a full off season, he's going to be extremely impressive. I think he's poised to have a monstrous year.
Jordan, it won't be seen much tomorrow, but as we move toward the summer and into the fall, what will the loss of George Pickens mean to this team?
Well, I think it's big right away, right? And to not get too far in the weeds, George Pickens played the X. And when you watch Georgia, a lot of times they go 3-by-1. They put their best receiver singled up to the boundary because it forces the defense to show your hand, right? Do you load over to the 3-receiver side, or do you single up your best receiver? Well, they don't really have an X body type now. They don't have a big physical number one guy. They got a lot of good receivers, and Jermaine Burton is a star in the making. He's going to be special. But I expect that is going to mean, as I mentioned, we're going to see a lot more of these tight ends. Brock Bowers is a true freshman. He's going to take a lot of time to get where he needs to be a every down contributor. But he's a tight end that is what the NFL wants, a big body that's athletic, that can stretch the field. Then they have Darnell Washington, who's 280 pounds and can block. So I expect it, because the receivers, now they will be healthy by the fall, no doubt, but I expect, because they've been out so long during the spring, that Todd Monken and this offense has kind of figured out, what can we do without them? Because the strength, and Monken even said this earlier when I talked to him today, the strength of this offense is the running backs and tight ends. We're going to find ways to focus on getting them on the field in the best ways. But again, taking that NFL mentality where you play with formations and personnel groups like the Rams do, they don't really have an X receiver either. They move guys around bunches and stacks to create mismatches. So I expect the offense to look a lot more like that. But again, their receivers are deep, and they're talented, even without George Pickens, and they'll all be healthy by the fall. So I think we'll get a little idea of what they could be without them tomorrow on the spring game, but expect a full roster and a lot of firepower from the outside as well when the season comes around.
And finally, Jordan, this is going to be a theme all day, the spring games. And, you know, we know you alluded, you know, there's a lot we won't see at spring games. What? I mean, I know the purpose of spring games, but what are coaches looking for, especially Kirby Smart tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of the, you're looking for the guys that there's maybe a little bit of a question mark, right? I mean, there's a handful of guys on offense and defense that, you know, they're going to play 3 drives, and that might be all we see of them for the day. What the coaching staffs really want in these spring games is to see how some of these depth players react, right? It's not a real game, but there are fans in the stands. It is structured like a game. There are consequences when big plays are given up or when you have big stops. So the environment is much more like a game. They want to see these second string and third string guys who rises to the top, because once you get past the starters on every roster in the SEC, the margin for what makes a good player is very thin. And really, a lot of times it's between the ears. It's what happens when the lights turn on. Are you able to remember your coaching points, remember the plays, execute, get yourself in the right position? So that's what these spring games are for. Create a game-like environment. Not a game, but a game-like environment, and see who doesn't mess it up, right? Because in this league, The best teams every year are the teams that their roster is the best from 1 to 40 or 1 to 50. The teams that are the deepest are the ones that play the best at the end of the season, and that's really what these spring games are about. Get some confidence on you, under you. Get out and compete, but see what you have from a depth issue. That's the biggest one.
Thank you, Jordan. Jordan Rogers on the call tomorrow for the Georgia spring game. We are running to a break here. We have a lot to do on the program, a lot more spring games to get to, but we're baseball later on, but basketball is the next subject. One of the most popular players in the SEC and, of course, on the campus of the University of Tennessee, John Fulkerson. Folky, joining us next with a big announcement that he is coming back for another year.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back here on a Friday afternoon, and it's been a really good Friday afternoon for Tennessee fans because of our next guest. He is John Fulkerson, and when we last saw him, we were all holding our collective breaths. But I think you're going to be quite pleased to see that he's looking quite well. Thank you. John, thank you for making time. Really appreciate it. Before we even get to some of the bigger questions, how are you feeling, and how is your health?
I'm feeling great. Like you said, the last time you saw me, I probably wasn't looking my best or feeling my best, but since then, I have fully recovered, and I've been working out, and all my symptoms are gone, and I feel great.
I don't want to make you go through that again, but I would like to ask you, at that moment, when you went down, I mean, a lot of us were worried we'd ever see you again. What was that experience like for you?
Honestly, I was worried about that for myself, but honestly, I really can't remember a lot of the situation just from where I got hit in the head. So all of it's really kind of a blur to me, that whole situation and the Florida game, moments before the game, and really until I woke up in the locker room was the first memory I can remember from the whole situation.
John, I only want to ask one question about this, and then we'll move on. But, you know, there was so much controversy from fans, and it just seemed to all of us that you mitigated that very quickly by responding to the reach out from the Gators. I know you could have gone a million different directions, but describe to us your path in choosing to ameliorate the hostilities and move on.
Well, first of all, I think for myself, I just think that the way my parents raised me is to be forgiving and to always love one another, treat your neighbor as your friend. But during that situation, I understood that we all make mistakes, and that even if he did do it intentionally, unintentionally, whatever, I understand that we all make mistakes, and I'm very forgiving of him because it could have been one of our players doing the same to another team. And so during that whole situation, I just thought that it was the right thing to do and the way I was raised. And I think, like I said, credit to my parents for raising me that way. But another thing I would say, that Vol Nation really had my back during those times, and they were really wanting, I guess, the best for me. And so I think that was reassurance to myself, my teammates, Vol Nation, that I was okay and that there was no bad thoughts towards him or any team, and that you just have to know that we all make mistakes and forgive everyone.
I have to tell you that is an amazing statement that you just made, because I think all we can all do is put ourselves in your shoes, and I'm not sure I could have had the same thoughts, but I applaud you and particularly your parents for doing the right thing and bringing you up. Well, let's talk about the big news. I didn't want to bury the lead, as we say in the communication journalism business, but you announced today you are coming back. Tell us all about it.
Honestly, it was just an opportunity that I know I couldn't pass up on, and playing for my home university, my home state, Coach Barnes and his staff, the players we have coming in, the players we have returning, Knoxville, the fans. It was just an opportunity that presented itself to me, and I knew I couldn't pass it up. And I think that just shows everyone my love and passion for, first of all, basketball, and then secondly, for the University of Tennessee.
And, you know, it's unique. I mean, a lot of young people are taking advantage of the opportunity. Some aren't. But I also bet your teammates and coaches were pretty happy. Describe to us their reaction when you let them know.
They were, you're right, they were all very happy. I was actually shooting that video, and one of my teammates walked in, and I told him I was shooting my farewell video, that I wasn't coming back, and that I was thanking Vol Nation. I was thanking everybody here at Tennessee for everything they'd done. And my teammate started crying on me right there in the middle of shooting the video. And so I had to quickly tell them that it was not a farewell video. It was I'm back video. And so that was, it was, I wish we had on video, but it was from tears of, I guess, sadness to tears of joy really quick. So that was just one example. And then all my teammates and coaches have been asking me ever since the season ended, you know, what I was thinking. And after a lot of prayer and consideration and talking with a lot of people that I really look up to, I think I finally definitely made the right decision.
John Fulkerson, I want to ask you, because so many of us, you know, would love to go back to a moment in time. And in your case, you had to consider it. I mean, you faced the reality that this may be over, and maybe not the way you would have preferred. But still, when you were going through that, did you come to the realization that how I mean, I think you did, but how dear and how important this all was, and maybe it was now gone, and when you fully recovered, you were able to grab it back?
Right. Well, at the beginning of the season, or before the season, I did not plan on coming back unless God showed me a sign to come back. And honestly, I think that's exactly what he did when I got injured and I wasn't able to remember my last game as a volunteer and how much I cherish putting on that jersey and not being able to help and support my teammates during the SEC tournament or the NCAA tournament. And so I just think that was a huge sign that I have unfinished business here and that we still have work to be done.
In our remaining minute or two, and you already have your degree, so a little bit less pressure on you, and I know you'll fill your time well, but talk about next year for the Vols, because fans are already looking at this as Tennessee fans can do, as a great opportunity to get back to where everyone wants this season to end.
Exactly. It only made me want to come back and honestly announce my coming back video so much quicker because of the pieces we have coming back, and then also of the commitments that we've got here recently. And Coach Barnes and our staff do a great job recruiting and a great job doing player development. And so we lost a lot of pieces from last year, but like I said, we're bringing in a lot of new pieces and great pieces this year, and we have some returners that are going to help us as well. And so I'm so excited for this next year and to see what we can accomplish, and for hopefully this to be a more normal year without COVID. And so I'm so excited to get to work with this new group of guys and the returns we have and see what we can accomplish as a team.
Well, John, all the best. I think everybody, it doesn't matter whether you're a volunteer or any part of this league, is excited to hear your story today, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of months. Thank you for making time, and all the best.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you.
You got it. What a fantastic conversation with John Fulkerson. I mean, just sitting here on that Friday afternoon, about a month ago, I'm not sure any of us could have predicted we'd be having that conversation. We have a lot to do in the remainder of the program over the next 3 hours. We'll bounce around to many of the SEC scrimmage sites. So we'll also look ahead to the baseball weekend, and it's the biggest one of the year. We are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.